Welcome back to another episode of PM Quickie Reviews. Now, we just got back from seeing The Wolverine. Let's go around and introduce everybody. So we have John from Waterfront Comics.
Hello, everyone. Snickety snick snick.
Justin from AskAMetalhead.com.
Hello.
And then John R. Foltz from JohnRFoltz.com.
What up, y'all?
So why don't we go around in a circle and start with our traditional routine. We go the good, the bad, and then the review. So the good, John.
I really liked having just reread the Frank Miller, Chris Claremont Wolverine miniseries, how it adapted that book, including one of my favorite scenes was Wolverine tracking down a grizzly bear.
Oh,
I loved
yes.
how they put that in as kind of an homage to the source material.
I was wondering if they were really going to have him go through with having to track it down, because they had that scene where he walked past it and they kind of went like, what's up, what's up? And they kept walking.
Buddy. Right.
And I thought, was that just going to be it? Was that going to be just like a little nod and they're going to move on? But when they went and finished out that piece of the story, it was like, yes. So, and what else stood out to you, John?
Well, I really enjoyed the movie a lot. I thought it was heads and shoulders better than the last Wolverine movie.
Agreed.
Having a Deadpool that didn't talk and katana arms not in the movie, and it's a much stronger story.
Yeah. Oh, God, I've forgotten about the katana arms. Those were horrible.
It seemed pretty faithful.
That movie was so horrible that I don't even remember any of this, and it makes me want to just go back and watch it real quick, but then I think I do remember crappy motorcycle scenes, and so I'm like, nah, this is a way to fuck it.
And then this movie made me say a sentence I never thought I would ever utter. I want to go back and rewatch X-Men 3.
Me too.
Right, because it's actually canon with those X-Men movies. They actually did a pretty good job of looping it into those and
it's almost like a direct sequel, you know, like months later.
Yes. However, I do feel like the Wolverine Origins is kind of like the Highlander 2 of the X-Men movies in particular. It's kind of like, nah, I'm good. Let's not pretend that. Let's just... Eh.
If there can only be one Wolverine movie, it should be the one we just watched.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else, John?
No, other than I really enjoyed the movie quite a bit. But we'll be moving on to the Battle Axe, who has a completely different opinion than I did.
And a dry erase board full of complaints. So let's go on to what you liked about the movie, Justin.
All right. So I love the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
The beginning of the movie is very good. It's when we start to get towards the end of the movie that I just felt like the writing was not as good. The plot sort of, it starts to disappoint. Okay. And I have a few reasons. There's a few holes.
We'll do that on the second part. Let's go with the good stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, the stuff
tangent,
I liked.
Tangent.
Well, I was getting into my list.
So keep it to the good.
I think the stuff I liked about it, I loved bringing in Yukio and Mariko, and the fact that, you know, it was very familiar based on what we read just over the last week.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, and I think that was the part of me that was like, oh, right on. Like, I get it. Like, I know this story. They're really catering to the guy that reads the comic book. I liked the style of Logan. You know, I liked that. I liked that Wolverine. And again, he was very much Logan throughout the entire movie. And then there's sort of a moment where, you know, there's this really cool transition. I liked that it wasn't totally implausible how he sort of is weakened. I thought that was pretty cool. And I liked some of the fight stuff. You know, actually, I liked a lot of the fight stuff. And, there wasn't any dead moments in the movie. So that's what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm. So, John Foltz, what did you think?
I agree with John Harder. I liked the fact that it really came out of the fertile earth that was sowed by Frank Miller and Chris Claremont in the original Wolverine miniseries from the early 80s. I liked that some of the sequences with the action. There were a few moments when the action seemed a little too chaotic for me, but there were more than enough that paid off, like the bullet train fight. Wolverine fights several Yakuza members on the top of a speeding bullet train. That had me literally on the edge of my seat. I really liked the chemistry between not only Wolverine and Mariko, but Yukio as well. Yukio added a lot to this movie. I was afraid that she would end up sort of being like a corny character, corny side character.
I'm glad that one of the things that they didn't do is sort of that. You know that moment in Spider-Man 3 when he turns into a total douche?
Yes.
And that's kind of, you know, as we were talking about on 4Js, that's what Yuriko can pull out of him. And so I'm glad that they didn't kind of use that in this movie. So I'm glad they didn't go there with her.
Yeah, definitely.
She was a badass.
Well, he didn't, like, there wasn't enough time in this story for him to spin it, like, spiral out of control he did in the comic.
And it wouldn't have made sense in the context of this particular plot.
For sure.
And I will say, to agree with the Johns, that we had asked the
question. It is you and three Johns.
Yes, right. The only one with two syllables in my name. That's metal. You guys are just rock, one syllable.
Hey, I'm technically Johnny.
Oh, okay. Well, so anyway, the point I was going to make is, you know, we asked the question, does this material from 82 stand up? And here you have millions and millions of dollars put into a movie based on, you know, technically based on sort of that world. And so, yeah, it absolutely does hold up, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I like the fact that they played the ninjas just right. They didn't play them as corny, goofball ninja. It worked. It seemed feasible. Everything that happened seemed feasible if you buy into the Marvel movie universe.
I was so glad that they actually did do some ninja scenes, because when they were revealing that the ninjas, early on, there's one of the ninja and he is helping Wolverine. So you're thinking, okay, are the ninja good in this one? Because in the comic book, it's the hand, and the hand is all kinds of bad.
And that was one of the things I have on, you know, I wish it was the hand.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have been
a totally different
movie. Messed with the story, and like it wouldn't have fit in as well. I'm just glad that they managed to work it so that even though in the context of the ninja being seemingly good for a time in this movie, that they were able to orchestrate a scene where he gets to fight a bunch of ninja, because that was, like, for me, that was necessito. Oh, like, I needed that.
That's another scene that's on my list.
When
they get out the bows and they're just peppering him with arrows. I mean,
that scene where he's like a porcupine is sick. Right,
yeah. That's why you like Wolverine, for scenes like that. And later the scene where he has to stress his healing factor to the ultimate limit in order to get it to kick in again.
Yeah.
Without giving any spoilers away. That. And then the last thing I really liked was that at the end, during the end, I can hear where Justin's complaining about that, because there's some stuff that you really want an explanation for. And I kept waiting. Please don't let me down. Please give me an explanation for this. Please. Because I was already predicting some of it, but I was confused about other points. And I was like, please give me this before you end this movie. And they finally did. They made me wait longer than I was comfortable waiting. But they finally did give me the plausible explanation and confirm some of the things that I don't know if was happening.
I don't know if my nitpicks are the same as yours. I will say the arrow scene, there's a moment where you're looking down over the town from where Mariko is, and there's just like a pause. And I thought, that is such a beautiful panel. Because is a panel like that.
It's a beautiful
and
shot.
One, I remember, you know, there's a panel similar to
that. It's kind of an old-fashioned Japanese-style little city.
Right.
Just a little nerd thing, like I like to interject. The reason why they couldn't use the hand is because Fox doesn't have the rights to that. Marvel owns it.
Really?
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Very interesting.
Boom.
So it was the movie studios that stopped it from being the hand.
That's interesting. Well, what I liked about it has a lot of that's already been said. One of the things that I thought was most amazing was that they managed to continue on with the theme that seems to reoccur over and over again with Wolverine, that he is fighting his animal nature. We talked about this the other night, although this review will come out before that podcast will come out. But anyway, throughout Wolverine's various stories, the ones that really focus on him and his character development and his, I guess, really battle between being Logan or the Wolverine, and his animal side and his human, his man side, you know, searching for peace and dignity, even though he's capable and in some cases and in some iterations really sort of enjoys there's like an indulgence in the violence and the scrapping, as they always say in the comics. And so I think that it was really cool that they were able to still illustrate that internal battle that he has, that's, I think, more well illustrated in the comics because they have a longer period of time to develop characters and actually have different characters that are personifications of each of those sides to make it clearer in the comic. Whereas, you know, obviously a movie, the story, unless it's going to feel really rushed, is only going to be able to take place over a couple of days. And so I still feel like, even though it was, in comparison to the comic, rushed storyline-wise, story timeline-wise, they were still able to really communicate that internal struggle that he has perpetually with, I don't want to be this violent guy. I'm not the Wolverine anymore. He's always trying to, seemingly always trying to stay away from being the Wolverine. Just wants to be Logan.
Well, I didn't interpret that as I don't want to be the Wolverine and violent anymore. I interpreted it as I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to be immortal anymore.
Yeah,
I just want to sit in a cave and die.
It was the whole Jean thing.
And yeah, because of what had happened with Jean. And it was more like, I felt like they could have played more with him battling his berserker side. But we were just talking about how earlier before the podcast, there are no berserker rages. Wolverine in the movies doesn't go into berserker rages like Wolverine did in the comics. before he conquered that flaw of his.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of the things that they changed for the movies to make him a little bit more likable and relatable.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, plus it's an action. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, this is an action movie based on a comic book.
I agree with you about his, maybe it was a little bit muddied with the whole kind of pity party, suicidally kind of thing he had going on.
Yeah, like, I'm not an X-Man. I'm not a hero. I don't care about justice.
And sure, then, sure. But then, I still think that there was definitely an element of that duality inside of him.
Yeah.
Because you know? It kind of taken him to a dark place where he was wanting to give up because he was so burdened by the Wolverine. But yeah. At the same time, I think that they still worked that in there some way. It wasn't, again, it's not, I think, as powerful as the comic book, but it still was there. And I like that a lot.
They addressed it, right?
They addressed it.
Yeah. And that's enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I really liked about this movie, that's something that I think only I will really appreciate. Harada, the head ninja, used to be my martial arts teacher when I was a kid.
No really?
Yeah, Will Yun Lee was my martial arts teacher when I was growing up.
Oh, wow.
Brush with greatness.
That's good knowledge.
Sweet,
dude. Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah, so when I saw him, I was like, oh, that's William. Oh, what? That's awesome. So I see, you know, he shows up on this rooftop, and I'm like, wait, is that? It is. Yes, because I didn't realize he was in the movie.
Wasn't he in one of the trailers that we saw before that as well? That you give a little clap to? Or
I'm not sure. He's been in a bunch of different stuff.
You know, he did a great job because his character was very complex.
Very complex because he was motivated by honor, but at the same time, his honor kind of pushed him to do things that were outside of his moral code. And
absolutely,
it was very an interesting character. I was glad that there was so much of him in this movie because a lot of the time, William always gets kind of the side roles and he's very entertaining to watch. And I just like him, you know. But then again, I'm a little bit biased. But for me, that was kind of like, it was one of those little, like, my personal life geeky moments.
That's very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, right? Wasn't that
good? That's totally cool.
That's awesome. The last thing that I want to say I really, really enjoyed about this is that not just in the story did they do a good translation of the comic book that this is very clearly drawn from, but there are scenes that are plucked right from the comic book pages, even in the kind of garish color. The scene where he's actually fighting Shingen, it's very much like it is in the comic towards the end where there's the blue background with the Shoji screen and they're fighting and like they're silhouetted and it's just gorgeous. And that
when he's fighting Mariko's father.
Yeah. Shingen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like when I saw them step out into the hallway and there was this blue light pouring through the Shoji screen with the grid pattern of black and their silhouettes behind it, I thought, oh my God, they're going to do it. They're going to do it just like they did in the comic book. And they did, and it was so awesome.
So there was some Frank Miller in this movie.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of Frank Miller.
Absolutely. Frank Miller is such a master of shadow, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of that in this. I think that was freaking awesome.
Frank, if you're listening, please come back to comics. Forget Hollywood.
And then I think I did say one last thing, but I want to say one more thing. I was initially concerned about the character of Mariko. She seemed a little aloof and kind of bitchy in the beginning. And of course, in the comic, they're already in a relationship when you first meet her. So there's that. But they did a really nice job of translating her into like an actual likable person.
Absolutely.
From this sort of aloof little princess bitch that she comes across as early on in the first few, you know, I was going to say pages, the first few minutes that you meet her, she really transforms into someone who's likable and she's gorgeous.
And there's some great emotional high points.
Absolutely. In the movie, yeah. It's believable that they actually have some kind of a relationship and that he does care for her, and that's very cool. It's very cool how they developed that. I like that a lot.
And it all without spoiling the ending, there's almost a nod to Casablanca at the very end, which I really enjoyed as well. Yeah.
I was kind of wondering if they were going to send the X-Men the card that we're getting married. Like, I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yes! Anyway, so we feel complete about what we liked about the movie?
I can name a few more things, but I think I've hit the major.
Sure, absolutely. All right, John. What stuck out to you that you felt like I could have gone a different way there?
You know, nothing really jumps out at me. The ending to me was a little bit predictable, but it's a comic book movie. So, I mean, it's not as predictable as other comic book movies that weren't as good.
Sure.
I'm going to leave my time for Justin, who has a whole whiteboard full of things.
You can just agree with me.
Well, why don't you tell them and then we'll see if we agree to disagree.
Yeah, Justin, jump in.
Okay, I'm not obviously not the comic book expert. So here are some things that bothered me. One, Logan would have known Japanese. And they play it off in the movie that he doesn't know Japanese. He doesn't speak it. He doesn't understand it. And that pissed me off. Because
I agree with that.
He would have known.
That's again, a good point. I never even realized that.
Mean, in the movie, there are plot points where he was in Japan previously.
Right.
So it wasn't like, because, you know, there are different iterations of, was he in Japan a really long time ago, or was he in Japan more recently?
I mean, there's even a moment when she comes to get him from, you know, whatever, you know, he's in the mountains, and he's like, I'm not going to Japan. I'm not drinking fucking Merlot, right? I'm not. Why? Because he's been there. And if you read the comics, you know that. He knows Japanese.
To be fair, though,
he lived there for...
To be fair, there were a lot of GIs who went to World War II, who went over there for World War II and didn't learn Japanese.
Okay, but if it's based on the Millar comic, or the Frank Miller comic book from 82, which it was not exactly frame for frame, but it was very much that world.
Yeah, would have known Japanese. That was a misstep. Yeah, I think I leaned over to you, Justin, in the middle. I was like, he knows Japanese. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, what? It was cute. It was funny. It was a moment of brevity.
I think it's an opportunity for them to have there be some mystery with what's going on with the Japanese characters and still have them be acting out the body language of what's going on, but leave us out of the loop because we're looking at it through the lens of Logan. And if we're doing so, and he understood Japanese, then there would be subtitles.
It becomes more exotic when he doesn't understand.
Yeah, but that was, I agree, that was a misstep. I think they could have maneuvered that better.
I wish, okay, good, so cool. The whole sword handling thing, which is a plot point, I thought, really, come on. I mean, he's a mercenary that handled swords in the comic books. He would know how to handle a sword.
This is the movie Logan.
I know, but it's okay. These are things that I'm perhaps a little nitpicky. I thought I had a decent plot. You know, there was a great twist at the end, and I saw it coming. I knew I assumed at some point that it was going to be it.
Yeah.
But I think part of it was my perceived view of who Logan is through the comics that I've read and the stories that I've read. They got close, but they just didn't get as close as I would have liked them to get. I loved, you know, how they, I think Yukio and Riko were well done. I think it was great. Oh, again, yeah. The relationship building was it was a little quick, but it's a movie. There's a villain, Viper. I wish we would have had some sort of a little tiny bit of backstory, some sort of flashback, something to give us more than just, you know, she basically at one point goes, I'm Viper.
I could have done completely without her, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it's a plot point that through her mutant ability, she's able to kind of suppress his healing ability, and it's part of the story and part of the tension, but like, I could have done without her completely.
I'm betting you on the DVD we'll see some deleted scenes showing how Yoshida took her under his wing and became his
henchman. I actually didn't mind the mystery of it.
Really?
I actually liked it being a mystery person because we were seeing it through Logan.
Oh, yeah. It's not the mystery part that I didn't like. I just didn't like the character. And I felt it was just kind of like, why is this in here? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't need.
Well, she was super hot. That little green outfit was pretty. Yeah. God, I need to find a where I can get one of those hot.
And she was sort of a smorgasbord. She was a splicing together of two characters from the comics.
At least.
Classic Hydra Viper and a new character called Contagion, which came out on Wolverine the Best There Is, one of the best Wolverine series ever done.
And she's a good opponent to Wolverine because even though Wolverine has historically been able to heal from anything, basically, the one thing that he's perpetually struggling with is freaking poisons. It still knocks his ass out. He heals, but he's always getting knocked out by darts and poison this and like all that sort of shit.
Well, it's a nervous system thing, right? So, okay, now, that being said, right, that's a laundry list of stuff I didn't like. I still actually liked the movie more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I walk away from it going, yeah, it was a good movie. Mm-hmm.
So, John, what's that to you that you wish was a little different?
The only thing that really bothered me, and this sounds so nerdy, but that's okay. I'm a nerd.
Dude, we are recording a podcast above a comic book shop right now.
Well,
go Wolverine nerd.
Fights a lot of people using katanas, samurai swords, and there's some great sequences. However, as Justin would say, in the comics, even in the movies that we've seen so far, Wolverine, with adamantium claws, you would be slicing through those steel katanas like they were made of plastic. And every time he blocks a katana,
that
katana
one of the ones you wanted
shredded.
To say, Justin?
But, you know, the fights wouldn't have been as cool if Wolverine had just went and cut off everybody's sword.
I will say that I do wish that there was a moment where somebody was split in three somehow. Because in the comic, the fights are so brutal. And I know you can't do that in the movies, but it would have been rad just to see like
a little Wolverine Max sort of level.
That brings up my second negative, I should say. I realized halfway through the movie that, man, Wolverine is mutilating and possibly killing a lot of people on this. You know, there's a lot of Yakuza. There's a lot of ninja. But we never see a spot of blood.
Well, the only blood is on him.
This sounds weird to say, but I would like to have seen more blood because there was a lot of bloody fighting going on. There was a lot of slicing and dicing. Fighting,
yeah.
If you watch 13 Assassins, one of my favorite samurai movies ever.
For sure.
The blood flies fast and furious. If you watch any really good samurai movie, and not only do you have the samurais, you have a guy with these claws. I don't remember seeing any blood. This is sort of a way to keep the movie from being like rated R, to keep it from being ultra violent. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more blood.
Regardless. What was the rating?
It was PG-13. That's why there was no blood. And then
that's a money
limited
move.
Cursing. Jamie and I were waiting. We were like, okay, they say fuck. One time in a PG-13 movie, when's it going to be said?
And Wolverine calls somebody a piece of shit.
And yeah. See, I actually thought that it was R because he said fuck once, because it only takes one fuck to get you an R rating.
No, you can get away with one.
You can get away with one in a PG-13.
I did not know that.
For a little nerd reference, the only PG-13 movie that had two fucks in it was Soap Dish. But Sally Field said them both, so I don't think they count because she sat at Sally Field.
Right.
I don't even know if I would have given
it. Once again, I am blown away by your mastery of movie trivia.
That is a money thing.
What I need is a Christopher Nolan Wolverine.
The thing about the PG-13 situation is that if these movies weren't PG-13, they probably would never come out.
They would never be cast.
Because that's such an unbelievable huge amount of money that they basically just throw in the trash whenever they make it up to R. I would imagine that most of these movies start at an R rating and then have to work with the MPAA to bring it to like just the top threshold
of PG-13. I'm sure they know when they write it, we're going to have this many shits. The one fuck
in the
third act.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this blood here, this mutilation, it's
unfortunate. And actually, I can remember watching a interview with Hugh Jackman, and he was saying, like, I would love to see and be in a R-rated Wolverine movie, but he doesn't have faith that it would ever happen.
Yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't draw in the crowd.
I mean, it's the difference really between the Wolverine normal comic I sell and the Wolverine Max. I mean, that's
absolutely
right. And it's at the same time it's like way more than double the money that they make. Like, it's unbelievable. So not only is their budget going to be tiny if they do an R-rated, they've set out to do an R-rated movie, but the reception that it gets will be tiny, and it's less likely that there'll be more. It's just kind of, it's something that unfortunately it's just part of the business, and I have decided to just be at peace with that. Whatever they're willing to put in a PG-13 movie, that's what we're going to get in these movies, because that's that way we get the movies.
Have you seen this movie isn't rated, or this movie has not been rated?
Oh, the MPAA.
Yeah.
Documentary. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And the MPAA is a bunch of fucking ridiculous bullshit.
It's retarded. Okay. So let me just say this about, you know, when they write the movie, they know there's going to be this and then this and that. When you work in IT and you write an IT budget, you always budget for X number more than you know you'll ever get and let them chop it down for you, and you'll get the money that you want.
Yeah.
You just have to outsmart them by putting in way more junk, right? Well, that's what they do here, is they just put in a bunch of crap probably and go, sure. Well, you can't have nipples there. Okay, well, we'll take those out. Can we get the PG-13? Yeah. I just read something that Sacha Baron Cohen left the Queen movie that's coming out. He was playing Freddie Mercury. Basically, it's a Freddie Mercury biography. And you can't imagine anybody that would do that better than him. He quit the movie because they're going PG-13, and it was originally slated to be R. Mm-hmm. So that's how impactful the difference is that the MPAA has.
MPAA is ridiculous. So, John, was there anything else you wanted to say negative-wise?
Not really. I think I pretty much covered it. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I was not a fan of the whole Jean Grey shit. All those little Jean Grey moments where he's like hallucinating about her. It's like, I understand that it was one of the ways they were communicating what's going on in his internal monologue, and it was, I guess that's okay, but it was a lot of hand-holding. It was really on the nose, and it was really just, I don't know. I did not like it. I felt like
it was the tie-in.
Yeah, but I felt like the story that they were telling did not need her.
I have a thought on that.
Once or twice, like once, like in the very beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning was once, brilliant. Maybe twice.
Great, right? But
yeah, but I mean, she came in like five times.
Right.
And it was just, and at the end, that whole sequence was like, son of a bitch.
But also at the same time, after that point, it's sort of like that's his closure for it. So,
But I have a thought that goes even beyond that.
All right.
The one thing that we know about Phoenix in the comics is that Phoenix is never truly dead. That's the nature of a phoenix. It returns from the ashes. And that's what Jean Grey does in the comics. Time and time again. John, how many times has Jean Grey returned from the dead in the comics?
Twice.
No, more than twice.
Well, the phoenix comes back over and over, but
way more than twice. But sometimes they rewrote it and said it wasn't really her.
now longer than she was any time.
Well, she keeps coming back over and over again. And I have a feeling that Jean is not really dead, that wasn't all in Logan's head. She told him, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I have a feeling we're going to be seeing the Phoenix again in a future X movie. It may be Famke Janssen and it may not, but I think that the Phoenix is going to rise again. And that may even be the title of a future X movie. That's my crazy take. You heard it here first, folks.
Love the beginning, though, when he saves the guy. Great scene.
Yeah. No,
powerful.
There's a lot of really, really good scenes in this movie. This movie is just, on the whole, it was really incredibly entertaining and told a good story. I think that's, you know, it's definitely worth a watch for
sure. I'd say it's better than X3. maybe not as good as X2, or at least maybe as good
as X2. It's hard for a movie that's about a singular mutant with a couple auxiliary mutants around to compete with something that is done well, that has the whole academy.
Yeah.
That is hard to stack up against.
So that leads us into reviews.
Yes. So, John.
I'm going to give it a solid 4 out of 5. Of all the movies I've seen this summer, I think the only movie I liked better was Pacific Rim. I think it was, you know, better than Star Trek, which I really liked, better than Man of Steel, which I thought was okay. Yeah. So I give it a solid 4 out of 5. Definitely go see it in the theater. You don't need to see it in 3D because we didn't. And
well, it's not filmed in 3D.
So yeah, it was up converted. So there's
no need
to see it in 3D.
Cool. Justin.
3. Yeah.
A 3.
3. Catch a matinee.
I'm also 4 out of 5. Really dug it. I'm not sure.
So that's a full price out of our scale.
Full price?
Full price. Yeah. You got Midnight Show, full price.
Oh, yeah. I paid full price and I was happy to do so. It was good.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm going to go 4 out of 5. Full price. I really liked it a lot. I think that it's definitely something you could spend an evening on and be happy with. It's definitely something that I'm going to want to have in my DVD library someday. Maybe an unrated version, hopefully. That would be pretty freaking awesome.
And for funness, I'm going to give it about an 85.
Yeah. Yeah, 85. Justin, fun factor out of 100?
85. Yeah, totally. It was a fun movie.
I'll even throw it a 90 for fun.
Yeah, I for me, definitely 90. But again, I've said once, I'll say again, I love most things Japan, so it gets a couple extra points just because of that.
It should get extra points just because it has your former martial arts.
Dude, right? Yeah.
It should get extra points for the Love Hotel.
It should get extra points for the Love Hotel. Yeah, that was amazing.
It was funny.
Yes.
Was
that scene reminded me of Blade Runner a little bit.
There was a little bit of that.
Tokyo futurism going on.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, that's not real futuristic. That's how it is there.
That's how it is, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rain, when he was standing on the balcony, the rain was coming down. I was like, ooh,
it was the neon that got you.
Yeah, neon, the rain. That's very, very much.
All you needed was a little tiny origami, and you would have had, like, Blade Runner with schnicky schnicks.
Schnickety schnicks.
And it needed Godzilla.
Yes, there's that.
If they're going to be that much in Tokyo, there needs to be some Godzilla. Yeah,
what's up with no Godzilla? Come on now.
Godzilla versus Wolverine. Interesting.
That would be very.
It would be a better fight than Godzilla versus Charles Barkley.
I don't know, dude. That was pretty amazing because Godzilla and his amazing sunglasses that he put on, or like what are those things? Like
the goggles, the eye goggles.
So awesome. Anyway, so yeah, it was really great. I think that we all recommend you guys go check it out. Thanks for listening to another episode of PM's Not So Quickie Reviews. Thanks you guys for listening. And we'll see you guys next time.